You're listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. For I Will Be With You. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible.
Welcome back to the For I Will Be With You podcast for the 16th week of the year, April 15th to April 21st, covering Exodus 12:2 to Exodus 15:22. Real quick commercial before we start, just want to remind everybody that if you want to get the book that this podcast is based on, you can purchase it at foriwillbewithyou.com. And if you like the podcast, I would really love to see you review it and maybe share it on social media. But that's all I'm going to say. Anyway, so on April 15th, we're at Exodus 12:2. Exodus 12:2 says, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So God is telling the Israelites that this is the beginning of what we call the Hebrew calendar. It's the first demarcation of a Hebrew month, which begins the period of time when the Israelites make their exodus from Egypt, and it's the month in which Jews celebrate the Passover holiday. So, but what's important here is that this is actually the first time in the Torah that God has actually given the Israelites a specific commandment to do as a nation. There are many, many commandments in the Torah. The Jewish tradition teaches that there are 613 commandments in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible. But this is the first one that the Jews actually get as a nation. And it's part of, you know, and the Jewish tradition, like other religious faiths, is very calendar and time-oriented. And there are many, many laws and traditions related to time of day, schedule, the calendar, month, time of year, and that kind of thing. And it's a little bit like recovery in the sense that recovery also has a special relationship to time. You know, we measure sobriety in days, months, years. We organize our days with time periods to keep in mind, be mindful of recovery, to bookend our activities, to keep us away from slippery situations. At time and misuse of time is also, you know, often one of the triggers for acting out. So as addicts, we can take our cue from this verse that we have a special relationship with time, and that we can take from this verse an idea that it starts today, in the same way that the Israelites were told, your freedom basically starts today. Today is the first day of your freedom. It's the first day when you get to keep time for yourself. A slave has no time of his own. This is the beginning of the Israelites being able to maintain their own calendar as free people. And in recovery, we can extend this idea and say, you know, we're free now to be sober. We're not slaves to the addiction. The addiction isn't setting the time for us. And we can make our own time. So that's something to think about from this somewhat technical calendar commandment that comes out of this part of Exodus. Exodus 13:7 says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt." So what's happening here, if you look at a map of the Middle East, you'll see that the easiest way to go from Egypt, from the Nile River Delta to the land of Israel, is to just walk along the coast. It's not close, but it's probably something that the average person could walk in maybe a week or two. It's not that far. And it's kind of a straight line. But God understood something that the Israelites did not understand. And I can't describe it, but there are certain maps you can see which shows the actual route that historians think the Israelites took when they left Egypt, and it's much, they go south and down and around and back and forth. But God is telling him to go this way on for a very specific reason, which is that God understands that a group of people that's so recently freed from hundreds of years of slavery is only just beginning to get a feel for itself as a free nation, cannot go right into a major war with a group of people who don't want them entering their land, which would be the Philistines. And it's very rich in symbolism, I think, for the struggle with recovery and addiction. Sometimes it's best to take an indirect approach to big problems. Take small steps and build your strength. In this case, God understood that the Israelites needed time to prepare themselves. They had to go, they had to receive the Torah at Mount Sinai, they had to prepare themselves to enter the land of Israel, to merit the land of Israel. And that he understood that, God understood that if the Israelites confronted a hostile enemy right away, they would probably turn back and run right back into Egypt, into what you'd have to imagine would be even worse enslavement after everything that happened. But somehow that would feel right to them. And that, I think, is something that as addicts we can relate to. It doesn't matter how bad it was. It's better than what you're afraid of. And especially in early sobriety, as a good sponsor will tell you, take it easy. Small steps, do small things. You know, the person with, you know, 30 days sobriety shouldn't go, you know, demanding a raise from his boss, getting divorced, anything that's major in life. Just get yourself some time to learn how to be sober and learn to trust God and guide you on the right path, which may seem to be the wrong path, but probably is the right path. The story continues, Exodus 13:18, saying, "But God led the people about by the way of the wilderness by the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up armed out of the land of Egypt." So here we have, they're on this journey, and they're basically heading south towards the Red Sea. It's on the map now, though there's some theories that the waterways were not quite the same then as they are now, but same basic idea. But it's interesting to note that they're armed. So they're free, and they've been freed by tremendous miracles of God directly intervening in history and causing plagues, but the Israelites are armed. And I think there's a lesson here, which is that God can do amazing miracles for us, but we have to do our own part. We have to arm ourselves as well. We can't sit back and expect God to do everything. I think God, there's an idea that God sort of meets us halfway. If we do our part, God will do his part. And we should avoid assuming that God will do miracles for us, especially if we're not prepared to do our own part of the work. Another way to look at this verse is that there's some Hebrew language in the text that relates the word armed to the word five, and I'm not going to get into it, but there are a lot of interpretations in Torah scholarship that use this sort of technique, that the words are related so we can infer a meaning. But the commentators ask, why is the word armed related to the word five or one-fifth? And the commentator known as Rashi says that only one-fifth of the Israelites actually came out of Egypt in the Exodus. The other four-fifths were not ready to leave or didn't want to leave. And these people died during the plague of darkness. So there's a question that comes up, which is, why on earth would someone who'd been enslaved not want to be free? And unfortunately, I think we know why. An alcoholic knows why. Because for many alcoholics, our experiences, no matter how bad it actually is, we're doing fine, you know, thanks very much, we're really doing fine, I don't need your help, my life is going just great. And of course it isn't, but we think it is. And the people who want to help us They're the bad guys. We treat them with suspicion and contempt. And so I think you have some Israelites who were, they were so used to slavery that they were like, oh, you want us to leave? Why? You know, why would I want to leave? They don't want to make, they're terrified of making a change. And this is the trap of addiction. You can't liberate yourself even when someone's willing to help you. And I've seen this so many times. People are, I mean, for example, I knew a gentleman who was having a very hard time in his addiction, and he was offered a free slot at a residential, totally free of charge, at a residential rehab, which usually charged $50,000 a month. He wouldn't take it. He was so suspicious. What are they going to do to me there? What am I going to owe them later? On and on and on. Anything. He would do anything except just, you know, take them up on this amazing offer and try and get sober. It was easier for him to just stay in the addiction. In Exodus 14:10, we have a moment that's very famous and been made famous in books and paintings and movies, which is that the Israelites are trapped between the Sea of Reeds and the Egyptian army, which is pursuing them. Exodus 14:10 says, Pharaoh approached the children of Israel, raised their eyes, and behold, Egypt was journeying after them, and they were very frightened. So this may be a familiar feeling. You're just trapped between the army that's going to kill you and the ocean that's going to drown you. And I think that recovering alcoholics and addicts can probably relate to this feeling of being trapped. It seems like there's no way out. Yet, as we see in this story, there is a way out if you have faith. So the sages teach us that the Israelites were terrified, I mean, justifiably terrified, until one person who is identified as a person named Nachson ben Aminadav, of the tribe of Judah, he walked into the Red Sea, and after he took the plunge, then the sea parted, and the Israelites were able to cross to safety and freedom through the parted waters. But it took one person to be brave enough and have enough faith to go into the water. And this, to me, is a metaphor for the courage it takes to get into action and deal with addiction. You got to take the plunge, even if it seems impossible. And I think what we see most of the time is that if you take the first steps, God will be there to help you cross to safety. Not guaranteed, but this is the way it seems to work a lot of the time. You have to be ready to take the first step. And in some cases, it literally is the first step, admitting that you're powerless over alcohol or drugs or whatever your addiction is. Once you take that first step and you have faith, the waters can part and you can cross to freedom and sobriety. Now, what happens next is that before the waters part in Exodus 14:11, the Israelites are trapped. They're terrified, and Exodus 14:11 says, quote, "And they," meaning the Israelites, "and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to bring us forth out of Egypt?" So there, this is such a classic moment for addiction or human behavior, I guess. See, fear turning into anger. Now, I don't want to downplay the fear. These people thought they were about to be killed, hacked to death by swords. But they're very quickly forgetting the tremendous miracles that happened that got them to that point already. I mean, this is a group of people that were born and grew up thinking they'd be slaves forever, and their children and their grandchildren would be slaves forever. They never thought they'd get out. And God has intervened and brought tremendous plagues and destruction down on Pharaoh and Egypt, the most powerful kingdom in the world. And they were allowed to leave, and they've left. And now they're in danger. And they're turning on Moses saying, you know, weren't there any grave? We could have died in Egypt. Why have you brought us here to die? This verse captures a lot of the anxiety and fear and anger that comes up in, especially in early recovery, where you're just in a very raw state and things don't go right. I mean, that's one thing that I think a lot of us have been through or seen in others is, you know, recovery can be great, but, you know, sometimes early on it doesn't go so well. You know, like, I'll just share a story. A friend of mine said when he got sober, he finally began to think about what was actually going on in his life, which was he owed thousands of dollars to, as he put it, the wrong kind of people. He had borrowed his girlfriend's car and parked it somewhere. He couldn't remember where it was. You know, he didn't have a job. It was just, you know, it was not a pleasant, you know, morning to wake up on for him, but at least he was sober and clean, but he was in big trouble. And so I think the challenge in that kind of situation is to stay focused on faith and be grateful and remember the miracles that have happened to bring you to that moment, and hopefully that will take you through the crisis of fear without it turning into anger. And in Exodus 15:22, the story continues, says, "And Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. The people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" Now, I don't want to minimize the fear and condition of not having water in the middle of the desert, but again, it's shocking to see the Israelites complaining so much and so quickly after being saved from a miracle. I mean, these people just walked through the waters of the Red Sea, parted for them by God, to freedom at last. And they get where they start heading out to where they want to go, and they don't have water, so they complain. They complain to Moses. And this is sort of like, I think we see this sort of thing in the program. It's like a lack of gratitude towards recovery mentors, you know, who are saving your life. This is kind of a classic moment of recovery, especially early recovery. The people who care about you, who give of themselves to help you improve your life, are the targets of your anger. It's unfair, but it's classic. And I think we've all done it in some way, or maybe felt it. And I think that then there's a lack. Then part of the story here is the lack of water itself, which I think symbolizes the sort of inevitable come down that can happen after the early burst of excitement about sobriety, the so-called coming off the pink cloud or whatever, you know, because I think what happens is that, you know, whatever you've been medicating yourself against is still probably in your life. And, you know, I think a lot of us can relate. This idea of, you know, once you sort of, okay, I've sobered up and I feel good and I'm feeling better and I'm feeling gratitude. And then you're like, oh yeah, there's all this going on. Boy, I really need a drink. You know, I really could use a drink to handle all the stuff that's going on that I wanted to get drunk about before. That didn't change, right? You got to do something about it. Life in early recovery can be bitter. So there can be depression and anxiety. You can run out of water in the desert, so to speak, and get desperate. And this is where we need help more than at any other time. You almost have to go the opposite direction of being fearful and angry. You have to have more faith and more trust in God to help you achieve, help God do for you what you can't do for yourself.
You've been listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible. www.foriwillbewithyou.com